This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Camp Roberts, California. Right now we're with Robert Horvath, Lieutenant Colonel, and he's a new garrison commander at Camp Roberts. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to be here. This is a fascinating base. During World War II, it became the largest training base in America.
That's correct, yes. In 1941, the base opened up in support of the mobilization deployments in support of the World War II efforts.
So there were thousands of troops that came through here.
I believe there was just over 10,000 troops. Probably 100,000 came through. I don't know the total.
Yeah, the total rotation.
Yeah, the total rotational throughput. But yeah, at any one time, there was well over 10,000 being trained here at any one time.
So the little towns of Bradley and whatnot surrounding were boom towns at that time.
Yes. A lot of the towns developed in support of the post and the World War II mobilization activities.
What was the expertise of this base? General breadth of basic training?
Mostly basic training. They did a lot of signal and maneuver infantry tactics here for the war support efforts.
Today, things have changed. Camp Roberts went through ups and downs, the Korean War, Vietnam War, and now is reinvented itself.
Actually, Camp Roberts is going through a lot of modernization. The ranges and training areas and support, especially with all of the activities post 9/11 and a lot of mobilizations happen here right now. We average about 256,000 soldiers through Camp Roberts each year in support of collective and individual training requirements.
You have a base 25, 30 miles away. I think you guys touch each other, and that's Hunter Liggett, which is primarily a reserve training base, where your mission is slightly different.
Hunter Liggett is 25 miles north to us. There is a maneuver trail that actually connects the north side of Camp Roberts to the south side of Hunter Liggett. And the two installations are what classified as a regional collective training center. And the two installations serve to complement each other, and their focuses are a little different. We, our 43,000 acres here at Camp Roberts, are mostly maneuver areas, and so they support heavy maneuver and light maneuver.
And heavy maneuver would be tanks, right?
Any kind of tracked and wheel vehicles, correct, across the terrain.
Strikers,
we do have some tanks, and self-propelled field artillery assets, those kinds of things.
Talk about the breadth. You have reserve training here, you have National Guard training here, and then you have active Army full-time.
Camp Roberts supports all three components, active, reserve, and National Guard. Of course, as a National Guard installation, we certainly want to support primarily the National Guard training requirements. That's what we're here for. But yes, everybody is welcome to train. We do have foreign units, British elements come and train here frequently, and we do have law enforcement and fire agencies that come in, other governmental agencies that utilize the train as well. We have a CACTIF, a Combined Arms Training Facility. It replicates a town and has 13 buildings, variety of different types of buildings. It has tunnel systems, and so it actually affords units and law enforcement agencies to come in and train in terrain that they might encounter throughout their daily duties.
And what's interesting, you guys have to be locked and loaded for every potential eventuality around planet Earth. One day it might be the jungles of Southeast Asia, and next week it could be a desert in the Middle East. And so you have to create as best you can those very diverse training exercise places, like you said, the town that you built. Is that replicating more in Iraq or Afghanistan?
Well, Camp Roberts, actually, the terrain here affords a wide variety of environments in which to train, especially given, like we talked about earlier, the 25 miles north at Fort Hunter Liggett, they have terrain as well. That's why that regional training capability and collective between the two installations affords such a diverse opportunity to train. Our terrain here at Camp Roberts, a lot of rolling hills. We do have bodies of waters and some steep terrain as well as flat terrains.
And you have dense wooded and open savannas.
Some oak. Yeah. Exactly. So all of that affords units training here that diverse operational environment, especially with the other terrain features and man-made features combined in order to replicate those diverse areas which they might encounter.
So since you have troops rotating in and out from across America, you have to have an infrastructure of permanent party duty people to run this base. Roughly how many people are stationed here full-time, and how many civilians do you have working here?
Approximately 300 in full-time employees in and around Camp Roberts on the training site in support of all of those infrastructure requirements, just like a little town. Mm-hmm. And of those 300 employees, probably roughly 100 of them are military personnel, and then we do have different categories of civilian employees, state civil service employees, federal employees, and then we do have contractors that come in that do sustainment operations around the installation.
And the civilians that work here, they primarily live in Paso? Would that be?
Probably the majority of them, I would say probably 85-90%, live in and around Paso Robles. Some of them live as far down as Santa Maria or Pismo Beach area. But very much local density of individuals that support the post.
You have some training exercises coming up in the near term.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Annually, we actually have about 6 major training events each year. The one for the California Army National Guard, their heavy training period will come towards the end of May through June. So that'll be the heavy density area period for California Army National Guard training.
And if you give us a little specifics, what will the training consist of?
Most of it will be maneuver type training where the elements will be out in the 40,000 acres of maneuver sites out there in the field. There will be some garrison type activities where they're replicating where units are received into a theater of operation and then pushed out forward into the other forward operating bases.
Looking in from the outside, logistics would be a really essential and key component, because you have reserve guard troops coming in from around California, and some of them are bringing their own equipment, and some are probably requesting that you supply equipment.
The majority of units bring organic equipment in to support. The post does offer a small set footprint of logistical equipment that's readily available, but the preponderance of elements bring in their own organic equipment and logistical supplies.
That would be Humvees and Strikers or whatever it is.
Exactly. All of their, both their rolling stock, which is all those vehicle type sets, as well as any of their logistical classes of supplies, such as their food and building materials, barrier materials, those type of things.
And live fire exercises?
Definitely going to have live fire exercises. Now, for Camp Roberts, we do have a specified period of time in which live fire is active, and then there's a down period in which live fire does not occur. So we end our live fire period at 23:30, which is 11:30 p.m., and then it can resume operations as early as 06 in the morning.
So the neighboring farmers can get some sleep.
Yes. So, yeah, the cow, all of the milk production and egg productions can continue on undisturbed.
When and how does air support exercise take place here?
Air is integrated throughout most of the maneuver activities. California National Guard does have a combat aviation and rotary wing assets, and so those are utilized in support and with the operations of the maneuver and ground elements consistently through those training periods.
Okay, so where did you go to high school?
I went to high school in 29 Palms, California. Wow. So out in the Mojave Desert.
And that didn't talk you out of going in the military.
It did not. It probably should have, but it did not. No.
That's some pretty brutal training exercise terrain out there.
Very much. The Mojave Desert is at one of the far spectrums of both the heat and the cold. I mean, the changes in temperatures are drastic.
But I seem to recall that in World War II, that was a huge training base, humongous.
It was, and it supported a lot of the tank maneuvers and preparations for a lot of the African campaigns.
Okay, so you're in high school. Did you think about going in the military? What were you envisioning for your future at that time?
Actually, in high school, I did not consider the military. I went into college. I went to Cal State San Bernardino on a running scholarship into San Bernardino. And then after a couple years of college, I ended up looking to the military for the GI Bill in order to sustain and continue on into college. So at that point, after about 2 years of college, I enlisted in the Army.
So you didn't do OCS then?
I ended up after 10 years of enlisted service, both active duty and reserves. I did go into OCS and get my commission in 1998.
What was your area of specialization?
Enlisted, I was a forward observer, and then I became a medic, and then when I commissioned, I went in as an armor officer.
At some point, you wound up in San Luis Obispo County, and you were one of the commanders of Camp San Luis Obispo?
I was not the commander. I was there in support. I was the deputy brigade commander for the 223rd RTI, Regional Training Institute, and they are the schoolhouse, the TRADOC schoolhouse, for both OCS, warrant officer, and then they have three different schools under them. They had the 88 Mike Transportation School, 31 Bravo Military Police School, and then the 92 Yankee Supply School.
So at some point, you got plucked, and here you are. You've come from Camp San Luis Obispo, and you're now Camp Roberts, and you're base commander, correct?
That is correct. I am the garrison commander for Camp Roberts Training Site. It's a fantastic opportunity. I was thrilled to be selected as the garrison commander for this installation.
And what's your biggest challenge? What keeps you up at night?
My biggest challenge, what keeps me up at night, is making sure that Camp Roberts can provide all the necessary logistical and training resources in support of the units that come here to utilize our training site.
And what is the element or elements that you're most proud of that run seamlessly?
The ranges and training areas that are here on Camp Roberts, a lot of work and effort and resources have gone into making them state of the art, especially the Combined Arms Training Facility. It has the capability, sound and smell within the tunnel systems, audio and visual feedback, recording capabilities. Really, units can go in there, conduct their operations, and then at the conclusion of their training, review what occurred and really refine their tactics, techniques, and procedures to make sure that they are well trained and ready to for whatever they encounter on the battlefield.
The future of the military, which is happening right now, is EAVs, drones, and virtual reality. Talk to us about how that is being implemented here.
Well, at Camp Roberts, we do have an airfield down to the southwest. It's McMillan Airfield, and we have a UAV platoon that is stationed there from the 79th IBCT. So they are constantly training and utilizing UAV assets with the state-of-the-art capability. We also have the Naval Postgraduate School that also utilizes that same area. The research and development and working through on UAV systems and those drone capabilities. So Camp Roberts has a huge force multiplier in UAV assets and their development and making sure that we're providing the frontline forces with the latest and greatest technology.
And I bet that drones would be a game changer in recon.
Definitely, but I'd like to take it a little different direction. So California has all the California wildfires, and you know that has been really prevalent in the last several years. Here at Camp Roberts, what we're working for is in the 2018 fires, California National Guard actually utilized some unmanned aerial assets in support with the Cal OES to observe,
Office of Emergency Services.
Office of Emergency Services to observe fires and kind of track them and help feed the information of what was going on into those cells. So right now, what we're looking for is, as we do our control burns,
which we do every year,
and we're coming up on that time frame now. Mm-hmm. So we're looking with all the adjacent fire departments. So when we do our controlled burns, we bring in a lot of other agencies and assets from around California. They utilize that controlled burn opportunity for training and getting ready for any of the wildfire seasons. But we're also looking at integrating those unmanned aerial assets to help refine and feeding of information to make sure that we can stay ahead of the development of the fires.
Fascinating in that the Army's mission, the National Guard mission, is so broad. Here you have a fire department and preventative fire burns and whatnot that has nothing to do with an enemy over the hill.
No, but California National Guard, you know, we are a state asset and belong to the governor. We bring in such a diverse capability to the state in regards to our ability to react to all kinds and diverse aspect of events that would happen within the state.
Talk to us about virtual reality training.
Right here on Camp Roberts, we have a large number of assets that are virtual constructive reality based.
Some specifics of how it functions.
So right now we have weapon systems training that is based on virtual reality. So it's called an EST-2000. It's an engagement skills trainer. And what it does is it replicates a battlefield simulation, and they can utilize inert weapon systems that have some kind of laser technology on them as opposed to utilizing real bullets.
I imagine one of the advantages is that you're not live firing. So at 150 caliber might be $5 times 10,000. That can be a cost factor that is a great saving in the VR world.
Yes, virtual reality actually provides that ability to not only as a cost-saving measure, but as a safety, as units are beginning to build their techniques and integrate with one another. We also have convoy trainers. They have the system, the vehicle systems that are complete, but then they, you know, they're stationary and it's replicated through a virtual driver simulation, but allows them to practice their techniques without getting out on the roads.
And even as such something as simple as fuel cost.
Definitely. So all those virtual reality and constructive training-based skills trainers really add immensely to the reduction of cost across the force.
And I know in the VR world that you can embed a troop right here and be in Afghanistan.
Yeah, all the scenarios.
In a 360 color immersive environment.
Exactly. Yeah, those, we have the layouts. They can place you wherever, whatever terrain and environment you want to be in. We have a virtual battlefield trainer for platoon and squad level size scenario based events. So Camp Roberts has a diverse capability when it comes to live virtual constructive training.
So all that being said, a troop wanting to sign up for the Army or Air Force or whatever, you have to be computer literate today, don't you?
Definitely a skill that is beneficial in whatever career field you're going into. But within the Army National Guard and any of the services, computer skills would actually be very beneficial given that a lot of our systems are all database fed right now.
Knowing what you know today, if your son or daughter were graduating and thinking about a career in the military, but they still had time to study and take courses of study that would be most applicable, what would you tell them to study before they graduate?
Typing. I would, you know, that's typing is a skill that is transferable into most anything. So typing would be the first thing I'd tell them to do. But in addition to typing is definitely get in and understand how computer programming works.
So again, part of the mission here at Camp Roberts is more than just direct military training. It's taking care of and protecting the state of California.
Most definitely, Tom. We have assets, the fire department that is both here on Camp Roberts that responds, but Camp Roberts provides a platform by which a lot of different entities across the state can train, and that major one is the California Office of Emergency Services and California Fire Department. CAL FIRE utilizes Camp Roberts as a training opportunity, and California National Guard also has stood up a Wildlands Fire Task Force, Fuels Reduction Task Force, You know, we respond. California National Guard provides Type 2 hand crews in support of wildfires each year. The Adjutant General, Major General Baldwin, is really supportive of all of those requirements, disaster preparedness, and response to any disasters in California.
You just had some training exercises on base here.
We did. Within the last month, the Fuels Reduction Task Force came and they did several weeks of training here in preparation for the upcoming wildfire season.
And they're out in the field right now.
They're out in the field right now doing reducing some of those fuels opportunities for to help mitigate any of the wildfires that could potentially start in this season.
What's interesting, whether you like it or not, you are a part of the community. And so to make the best of it, you do open your arms to people on the Central Coast to come on base. And one of the reasons I would want to come on base is your military museum.
The California National Guard is part of the community. We're a community-based organization. And here at Camp Roberts, training site is National Guard. So yes, we want to make sure that we're integrated into the community and partners with the community. And we're helping to support and provide resources to the community as needed. The Camp Roberts Museum is probably one of the largest museums. It has a huge number of displays and takes back all the way to the founding of Camp Roberts in 1941. Community members are welcome to come in and get a visitor's pass and visit all the both the main and the annex museum.
This really is the regional museum for military history on the Central Coast.
That is correct, yeah, and it reflects, as you said, some of the exhibits all the way across California. There is a California Military Museum is up in Sacramento. There is one up there, but the one here at Camp Roberts is very inclusive and very dynamic.
What are some of the coolest things there? If we went down the hill right now, what would you want to first show me?
Their display that talks about the development of Camp Roberts from its inception on, it depicts all of the major improvements and really World War II, what was going on, and the huge number of celebrities that came and either performed here or visited here is really insightful.
Like USO?
USO, but then other individuals that just have happened to come and perform on Camp Roberts.
You also open up the base. You have a marathon that's on base, but it's for the community, for the Central Coast.
Annually, we host the Buzz Marathon. Mm-hmm. Normally, there's 50 to 100 participants that come and do that annually. It's a great event, and we love to have it here on Camp Roberts. We also have other things like the AIDS Life Cycle annually comes through. That'll actually be happening.
They're on base?
They actually come in and do a little bit on the base. We host them, and they have a short break here, do a little pedaling around the post, and then head back out onto Highway 101.
Tell us about the meet and greet for the community.
Well, what I'm trying to do is, as the new garrison commander, you know, we're talking about how important the community is and our relationship with those neighbors around us. So this past week, I hosted a meet and greet with our adjacent neighbors to make sure if there's anything that's happening here on Camp Roberts that we're informing them of what we're doing here and making sure that we're developing that relationship and are good partners and stewards of the land and environment around us.
Robert Horvath, Lieutenant Colonel, Garrison Commander at Camp Roberts, California. Thank you so much for the time.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Honor and a pleasure to come here on base. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from northern San Luis Obispo County. Or are you guys in Monterey County? You're right on the edge,
aren't you? We are right on the edge. The dividing line goes right through Camp Roberts.
All right, so you can claim both. All right, we'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBS.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.